more Idaho Matters right now from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. The rise of artificial intelligence has created concerns across the globe as new chatbots and other uses for the technology have emerged, sometimes with less than positive results. Now, the advantages of AI being weighed against possible negatives, including the elimination of jobs and concerns about how AI will be used in places like higher education, are on top of mind for people. So joining us today to talk more about this are Brad Weigel, Clinical Assistant Professor and Director of Society for Ideas at the College of Innovation and Design, Sarah Wilson, Academic Integrity Program Director with the Office of the Dean of Students, and Amy Vicchione, Assistant Director of eCampus Research and Innovation. They're all part of Boise State University, and they'll be part of a panel talking about AI, Boise State, and the future of higher ed tomorrow afternoon at BSU. So, Brad, let me just start the conversation with you today. Can you break down what AI means for you and what it is actually?
Artificial intelligence for me is something that's not human, that is able to create things. And when I'm working with students, I try to start at the really basics of the terminology, because everybody's coming in at different understandings of the technology. And artificial intelligence, there's been the versions of it that we've seen in sci-fi, and there's the versions of it that we're starting to see come to the forefront in modern times. And so when I'm talking to students about the technology, it's, you know, the terms of artificial intelligence and generative AI and machine learning, and I'm really just trying to do my best to break those technologies down for students. But at the end of the day, it's technology that's able to learn and to create.
And Sarah, what about this idea of, you know, students using AI to help with schoolwork? I mean, this is something I've even noticed outside of higher education, that it seems like more educational institutions are, you know, really looking at this as maybe a help or a hindrance.
Yeah, I think there's so much to be offered by generative AI advances. And what's really going to help our students is helping them to understand how they can apply it to advance their learning and improve their learning, and also helping them articulate the ways that they might apply it and want to avoid that could actually undermine their learning. So the real heart of that is going to be conversations between faculty members and the students themselves.
Because Amy, it's my understanding that Boise State has a fairly open policy when it comes to AI and using it in the classroom. Is it true that each teacher can actually decide whether or not to let students use it? And I mean, is that flexibility a good thing?
It is a good thing, because every discipline, every class, every faculty member will be using AI in their discipline. So students going off into their careers, they may be being prepped for that while they're in their courses. Each discipline and each department will approach it differently. So for example, if you're in criminal justice, if you're going to go on to work in a policing environment, you know, how do you want your students to be using AI in their undergrad courses versus folks that may be going into marketing or business? They may have different approaches. And so I think due to academic freedom, it is really good that faculty get to make those choices. So their choices essentially are, you know, let me learn about AI first. Then once I know, I decide if they can use it in specific assignments only, or not use it at all, or fully embrace it and let students use it in any assignment or assessment.
So Brad, let's talk a little bit about, I think there's maybe a generational gap between students today and maybe, you know, their parents, right? In the sense that even when I talk with my teenager about AI, it's not a big deal to him at all. It's just kind of part of life, right? Yet I think that, you know, the older generation, we're kind of like, oh my gosh, they're going to take everything over. What does this mean? And is this any good? And do you come up with that? I mean, do you find that at your institution, where, you know, you have this one generation who really has grown up with so much of this in a way, right? And then those of us who maybe, as you said, only have seen this kind of stuff in the movies, and it's negative.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, certainly. And it is. It's something that's this generational and something that I'm going through for the first time. And I think it's true for every generation. You know, we are just coming off of the mobile adoption, where we've had generations that were slow to adopt things like mobile smartphones and tablets. And I think every generation feels that. And certainly that's going to be the case again with artificial intelligence. And I loved Amy's points in that last question that, you know, innovation isn't something that's managed, it's adopted. And when you can adopt and adapt to it, it's something that allows you to just speak openly and honestly with people about it. And that's what I'm trying to do with my students, both the younger generation and older generation, is speak openly about what's possible with the technology. How are you using it? How am I using it? And then it's that inclusive environment that allows for learning, rather than taking an approach of trying to police certain behaviors on it or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And Amy, is that why, in a way, with this policy at BSU, right, where an instructor can decide whether they use it or not? I mean, then that also gives them the freedom, as Brad mentioned, to not have to police it if they don't want to, or maybe they see a value in using AI within their classroom.
I think there's a lot in that question that could be explored, because even the idea of policing it is, it's really difficult to do that. So mm-hmm. even the best AI detectors have a huge fail rate. I mean, a 4% fail rate is pretty large when you think about the number of assignments that students turn in. And so the idea of having students be in that kind of situation, and faculty members, they may not actually know if someone is using AI or not. The detectors will never be able to determine that. And so I think right out of the gate, you can just assume people are going to be using this. This is going to be in our world regardless. People have been using bots, but in the past, it was not as productive as it is now. And so I think mm-hmm. once you start to realize this may not even be possible, you kind of take away the policing and you start looking at that opportunity. A lot of the research out there shows that, you know, even if you do approach it from a policing standpoint, it gets applied inequitably. So for me, it becomes, how do we, in the most equitable way possible, empower all of our students to use these tools to really change their lives and the lives of those that they work with?
Mm. Sarah, what do you think the future looks like when it comes to AI and education, mm-hmm. but in particular within higher education?
Yeah, I really love what Brad described and Amy described, which is adopting this practice into the practices that we're already using so that it has a lot of benefit to the things that are already underway at Boise State. So we focus a lot on high impact practices or HIPs. And so using it to augment those, like, for example, learning communities where students are going to be tutoring one another on different topics, this is going to be potentially something that could support them to do that for their peers, but it can't replace that. So adding the adoption term in really suggests that it's going to be joining people in their relationships and relational learning experiences to make it an even stronger environment. So I think that's really where we're headed. And it's mm-hmm. through those relationships that we're going to have those positive learning outcomes, and our students will be empowered to understand what types of uses they might want to avoid, because it's not going to help them be successful, and then what types of uses they want to pursue, because it'll really help them be successful.
And Amy, do most students come into Boise State already having an understanding of AI or even having used it before, or is this something that they too are adopting?
It is highly likely all of our students will have had some experience using AI. They may not know it, though. And it can be difficult to know how to use all of those innovations. There's going to be a really big divide there. And so what I really want to think about is how to teach folks to use these tools. If you think about it, our students come in with varying levels of communication skills and varying levels of coding skills. And what AI really can do is empower students to have the highest level coding and communication skills on par with people who already have those. So imagine if all of our students coming in can suddenly communicate their ideas in a better way, why would we not teach them how to use that? And so to me, it's about trying to provide that education so that they can use that in their coursework here at Boise State, whether or not they've had the experience in the past or not. And I say they may not have known they're already using it, because if you're using Google Docs to autocomplete any sentence, you are using AI. If you use Grammarly to check your essays, that's also a form of AI. My favorite editor, Hemingway app, it's also a form of AI that helps you just write better. So it's going to be about empowering folks to use those tools.
You know, Amy, I think that's such a good point, right? As you just said that, like if you use Google Docs and then it completes your sentence, that's AI. I'm like, oh, well, I guess I do use it. I mean, but I think maybe there's that disconnect, right? Where maybe those of us who are older don't understand that that's AI.
Right. And that even the autocomplete on the text when it suggests the word, some of us hate it, some of us love it. Regardless, that is a form of AI. It's learning essentially what the prediction is based on what word you said. What's the next word that's going to come? And so it's doing that based on probability. That's the same thing that these new tools do.
So, Brad, are you at all concerned about AI as we head into the future? I mean, has it given you pause or made you concerned at all? Or is it something, as you said, as all of you have mentioned, you know, it's adopting these new tools?
I think it can be concerning. I think a lot of the headlines and videos that you see that are the doomsday types articles on the internet, I don't think I fall into that bucket. I think it's trying to understand the tool, what's possible with it, and then the same shortcomings that we all have as human beings that have been designed into the tool are the things that I'm interested in. I'm really interested in to see what happens with copyright law. I'm really interested to see some accountability being held into the tools being built based off low-wage workers in other countries. I'm interested to see the debates on the equity of the development teams that have been building the AI and understanding the biases that we all have as humans being pushed into the technology. There are certainly concerns with every new technology, and that's always been the case. If we look back at social media has been in a wonderful platform for minority communities to have a voice. It also is one of the leading causes of depression amongst teenage girls. If we look at the invention of the automobile, amazing what it's done for transportation across the country, but it's one of the leading causes of death in the United States. All technology, all innovations have shadows, and it's important for us, especially as educators, to really look deep on those issues, understand them, and making sure that we're educating the public on them so that the tools that we have are even getting better.
Mm-hmm. Because Sarah, would you piggybacking off what Brad said, you know, AI is not going anywhere, right? I mean, so it's this idea of do we need to adapt, just as we've needed to adapt to, you know, the world of social media. We all seem to adapt to just fine of having, you know, mobile phones, right? So is it just something else that will take time, but eventually we all have to adapt and adopt?
I think so. And I think the word that comes to mind right now is how. So how will we do this adoption, and with what level of intention and strategy that's going to support our students' success? And that's really the question that we have right now at this point in time, I think, is how will we do this in a way that's going to be really supportive of our students in the Boise State community? And I think we're well poised to answer that question, but I think that question's also rapidly evolving in real time with the technology. So really, that's the place where I think we'll meet our students, is how can we best support them as we all adapt to this new technology and it becomes part of the fabric of our world and our daily lives and our future work environments for our students and our current learning environments.
And Amy, before I let you go, how do you see Boise State working with AI moving forward?
All of our faculty are going to have conversations, whether they've had them already or not, they're going to have them soon. to decide how are we going to integrate this into our programs so that we can really lead the way. I think Boise State is going to lead in figuring out how to bridge the gap here with our students, especially our most at-promise students, which both Brad and Sarah alluded to here. How do we use high-impact practices to help support them? I think we're going to lead the nation in figuring out how to empower students to be more successful using these tools. We're seeing it across all of our disciplines and departments right now. We have amazing faculty that are figuring out how to teach with these tools to help get stronger candidates coming out of their majors. So I'm really excited about that.
Well, I want to thank all three of you for coming in and talking with us about this today. Really interesting conversation. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Gemma.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Want to learn how to be a master of business without going back to school? Listen to the Planet Money MBA. No suits, no PowerPoints, just the secrets of business school delivered straight to your ears. Every Wednesday till Labor Day on Planet Money from NPR.